My Years with General Motors by Alfred P. Sloan. General Motors, the world's largest private industrial enterprise, founded in 1908 by William C. Durant, is represented in the automotive market by Chevrolet, Pontiac, Oldsmobile, Buick, Cadillac, and GMC Truck & Coach, jointly the producers of about half the passenger cars and trucks manufactured in the United States and Canada today. There were three simultaneous patterns in the way William C. Durant set up General Motors. First, variety in cars for a variety of tastes and economic levels in the market. Second, diversification, calculated to cover the many possibilities in the engineering future of the automobile. Third, his effort to increase integration through the manufacture of the parts and accessories that make up the anatomy of the motor car. The General Motors type of organization, coordinated in policy and decentralized in administration, has become standard practice in a large part of the American industry. Joining General Motors. To tell how I came into General Motors, it is necessary to begin with small matters. I was born in New Haven, Connecticut on May 23, 1875. Eventually, I became the head and part owner of Hyatt's Roller Bearing Company before it became a part of United Motors Corporation and later a part of General Motors. One day in the spring of 1916, I received a call from Mr. Durant, asking me to come in to see him. As the founder of General Motors and Chevrolet, Mr. Durant was a celebrated figure in the automobile and financial worlds. He asked me if the Hyatt Roller Bearing Company was for sale. After all those years of building up the Hyatt business, the idea of selling it was a shock to me, but it opened up a new vista in my thinking and caused me to analyze the situation at Hyatt. I decided to take the offer. When the question of payment came up, I agreed to take half in cash and half in the stock of a new enterprise that Mr. Durant proposed to organize, called United Motors Corporation. Since my father and I owned a substantial part of Hyatt, I finished with an important position in the stock of United Motors Corporation. In 1916, Mr. Durant acquired Hyatt Roller Bearing Company, together with several other manufacturers of automobile parts and accessories. Afterwards, I was named vice president in charge of accessories and a member of the executive committee. The Cooper-cooled engine. Mr. Pierre de Soupon proposed, as a replacement for the corporation's conventional cars, a revolutionary car with an air-cooled engine of Mr. Kettering design, which would get rid of the cumbersome radiator and plumbing system of the water-cooled engine and promised to reduce the number of parts in the engine as well as improving its performance. Mr. Kettering suggested that a few cars be made and tested, and that if they were satisfactory, a number of cars, 1,500 or 2,000, might be made ready for the market in 1921. I believe that considerable time has been lost in the development of the air-cooled car, but it is a long way from principle to reality in engine design. One only has to observe the years and engineering man-hours taken to develop practical jet and rocket motors, or to note that the water-cooled internal combustion engine had to come to its 1921 level of efficiency after constant development by an entire industry since the late 19th century. Nevertheless, though he had been at it only a short time, Mr. Kettering's convictions regarding his new air-cooled engine were optimistic. The significant influence of the copper-cooled engine was in what it taught us about the value of organized cooperation and coordination in engineering and other matters. It showed the need to make an effective distinction between divisional and corporate functions in engineering, and also between advanced product engineering and long-range research. Stabilization. In fall 1923, important organizational issues were raised because of the new copper-cooled engine. The problem for General Motors, as seen in 1922, was to get the advantages of volume by buying on general contracts items such as tires, steel, stationery, rags, batteries, blocks, acetylene, and abrasives, and at the same time to permit the divisions to have control over their own affairs. The General Technical Committee should be independent in character, which later became the highest advisory body on engineering in the corporation. I arranged to set up the General Sales Committee, made up of the sales managers of the car and truck divisions, sales staff members, and general officers of the corporation. Under Mr. Durant, the executive committee was composed largely of division managers who campaigned there for the interests of their respective divisions. After I became president and the executive committee was enlarged again, it included at different times one or two division managers, depending on circumstances, or motivated by the thought the largest car division should have representation there. The development of financial controls. The development of appropriations procedures in General Motors depends on the determination of the propriety of proposed projects and, in 1922, the Executive and Finance Committees approved a manual prepared by Mr. Pratt, Mr. Prentice, and Mr. Sloan, which is considered the first well-defined capital appropriation procedure in General Motors. Each appropriation request was to receive consideration and analysis from a corporation as well as a divisional standpoint before any commitment was made. Proper records were to be kept of expenditures and approvals for expenditures, and uniform treatment was to be given to appropriation requests throughout the corporation. Policy creation. The Great Depression of the early 1930s did not alter qualitatively the general characteristics of the enterprise except in one particular. Contraction required increasing coordination. That is, we had to find ways to react swiftly to this most difficult kind of change and to economize. These needs were to lead to the last basic modifications in the General Motors scheme of organization. There are now 9 policy groups in the corporation, divided into 2 categories. First, there are those that deal with functions, namely, engineering, distribution, research, personnel, and public relations, all largely related, though not exclusively, to the car operations. And then there are those that deal with certain group operations, namely, overseas, Canadian, general engine, and household appliance. In the case of each functional activity, these policy groups work under the auspices of the section of the general staff to which they are related. General Motors Overseas. Nowadays, General Motors participates in the overseas markets in 2 ways. 1, exporter of American cars and trucks, and 2, producer of smaller foreign vehicles abroad. The corporation's overseas business hinges largely on its overseas production facilities. Incentives and compensation. The General Motors bonus plan is an essential element in the progress of the corporation, as we believe that the most effective results and the maximum progress and stability of the business are achieved by placing its executives in the same relative position, so far as possible, that they would occupy if they were conducting a business on their own account. The bonus plan and the policy of decentralization are related, since decentralization gives executives the opportunity for accomplishment, and the bonus plan makes it possible for each executive to earn a reward commensurate with his own performance, and so gives him an incentive to put forth his best effort at all times. Its fundamental principles are that the interests of the corporation and its stockholders are best served by making key employees partners in the corporation's prosperity, and that each individual should be rewarded in proportion to his contribution to the profit of his own division and of the corporation's as a whole. The Stock Option Plan. The stock option plan is based upon what are known as the restricted stock option plan provisions of the Revenue Act of 1950. Since one of the major objectives of the bonus plan is to create and maintain an owner management group, the shareholders supplemented the bonus plan in 1957 by approving a stock option plan for key employees, which provided for the granting of options in each of the years 1958 through 1962. The bonuses are paid in the usual installments, although entirely in cash. At the same time, these executives are conditionally credited with contingent credits, in the form of General Motors common stock, in an amount equal to 1/3 of the reduced bonus awarded to them. Thus, their bonus awards plus the contingent credits which were conditionally credited to them are equivalent to the amounts that they would have been awarded as bonus if they had not received stock options. Each of these executives is then granted an option to buy 3 times as many shares of stock as are in his contingent credit. The option price is the fair market value of the stock at the time the option is granted. The management, how it works. Experience has convinced me that for those who are responsible for business, 2 important factors are motivation and opportunity. The former is supplied in good part by incentive compensation and the latter by decentralization. Good management rests on reconciliation of centralization and decentralization, or decentralization with coordinated control. From decentralization, we get initiative, responsibility, development of personnel, decisions close to the facts, flexibility, in short, all the qualities necessary for an organization to adapt to new conditions. From coordination, we get efficiencies and economies. Continuing adjustments in the relative responsibility assumed by the division management and central management are permitted by the decentralized organization of General Motors whenever experience or changed circumstances present opportunities for improved or more economical performance. General Motors has become what it is because of its people and the way they work together as an integrated team, and because of the opportunity which afforded those people to participate in an enterprise that combined their activities efficiently.